Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Padres, one trip down, two to go. We're in the, or one city down, two to go on this road trip. We're in the middle series. Padres about to face the Cardinals, the wild card leading Cardinals. Just won a series against the Orioles. Have won two in a row. Lots going on. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Padres have won two series in a row for the first time in nearly 2 months. That's where I want to start. Again, not necessarily the prettiest of series in Baltimore, but the bats seem to have come alive a little bit more. I think we're starting to get a better idea of what this sort of new look Padre roster looks like. And I think that's where I'd like to start. Is you had a great note in today's Padres Daily about you called them the San Diego Chihuahuas and how the influx of AAA talent has changed a little bit the way they're playing the game.
If you saw that lineup and that, and now that six of the 13 position players on the roster began the season in AAA, or, you know, like Will Wagner and Blake Hunt were hurt, they were slated for AAA. We're talking about an influx of six AAA players, and you said the San Diego Chihuahuas, it would be derogatory, and it may well end up being derogatory. On this date, I do not mean it derogatorily. Like, these guys have changed the attitude. I think they've changed the perception from fans. I think they're happy to be here and playing like it. They're helping the Padres win. That does not change anything, right? Like, Manny needs to hit. Fernando needs to keep hitting, maybe add some power in there. Jackson Merrill needs to keep hitting. Like, it hasn't changed anything long term, but great move by the Padres and good job by these guys who are actually playing too. Like Will Wagner last year, 17 plate appearances over 15 games. I don't know anyone, let alone a kid, who survives doing that. And so this year, on base, 9 of his 14 plate appearances, I think, kid has chased. This is like, I know it's a small sample size, but he's amazing. Now, he used to take batting practice from a pretty good left-hander, Will Wagner did, as a kid. But he has chased 4 of the 40 pitches he's seen outside the zone.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. That's wild. I mean, to me, I think it starts with Samad Taylor. If you look at these new guys and how they've progressed, I will admit he's one of those guys. I stop what I'm doing when he's up now because he could just as easily hit you a home run. He had his first career home run in that series against the Orioles as he could, oh, I don't know, lay down a bunt. Right. Yep. This is a guy who's doing it a bunch of different ways. What's sort of been the secret sauce with him there, and how does he fit into this lineup now?
Well, I mean, I got to go back and look, and it means I have to go swing by swing, but I'm so interested. I just might do it. I was talking to him yesterday and he doesn't think I'm far off that he has squared to bunt at least 8 out of 10. Like at some point, in 80% of his plate appearances, he's squared to bunt. It might be higher. I don't know. Like he's you can see the infield changing, right? So now maybe Samad Taylor, and this is obviously best case scenario, but this is the kind of player he is and the kind of player he has to be, really, even though he hit that nice home run at Camden Yards. He might pop one over the third baseman, right? Because they're playing in. He might be able to put down a base hit bunt to a weird place in the infield because they're overthinking what Samad Taylor can do. Guy has incredible confidence. We've talked about that before. But, yeah, I think at first some of the veteran players were like, okay, yeah, spark plug, okay. And like now they're like really enjoying having this guy around. I mean, he is 31 years old, I think. I mean, like the guy's been around forever and he carries himself like he owns the place and not in a bad way, in an absolutely wonderful way.
Right. Samad Taylor, not for nothing, was a verbal commit out of high school to the Stanford of the Southwest, the University of Arizona.
Not anybody who knows you knew where that was going. And he lives in Scottsdale now, Arizona guy.
Arizona guy. Craig Stammen said something very interesting. You quoted him as saying this is when you call up a guy like a Samad Taylor, like a, and we'll talk about him, Blake Hunt, like a Jace Bowen, a lot of those guys come up and they sit, right? A lot of those guys come up and they fill in when they can. They do what they were asking Bryce Johnson to do, which was pinch run in the eighth inning, play one half inning of defense in the ninth. The fact that all of them are playing, what does that say about the Padres' comfort level with them or maybe how desperate the Padres were for any sort of a spark?
Both.
Okay.
It was both. I mean, like, this is like, I don't think I need to pound it home every story like that. Like, while like today's was, I think I came across like in today's newsletter and in some other spots, like very positive, right? Like these guys are helping them win. Mm-hmm. I've also written, and it doesn't need to be said every time, they're here because they weren't very good, the Padres. Like, they weren't playing very well. Like, Nick Castellanos, right? Like mm-hmm. Ramon Laureano got hurt. Yes, he wouldn't have been replaced, but he wasn't playing well. Miguel Andujar got hurt. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. He was in kind of a prolonged slump. I mean, like, there was a real upside that these guys have come in, and to their credit, like, both can be true. Like, we don't have to go out of our minds for these guys, and we don't have to be like, oh, it's the, you know, the San Diego Chihuahuas. Oh, this is like 2017 or something, because it's not. Haven't we seen, not to this extent, I don't think, haven't we seen the Dodgers do this for stretches of seasons before, where you're like, where are they getting that guy, right? Sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason why Samad Taylor can't be the Padres version of Alex Call, right? A guy who comes up, plays in stretches, helps them in stretches. There are two more new guys, Kevin, and then we'll move on to other stuff. Two more new guys joined the roster over the weekend. Nick Solak replaces Miguel Andujar, who was placed on the IL. Is this a right-handed pinch hit bat? Where do we think he fits in?
Yeah, he had a, whatever it was, a 10-something OPS against lefties in, El Paso. He has had such a small sample size, I couldn't possibly tell you. The crazy thing is, he's one of those guys where you go, is he a 4A, a 4.5A? Like, this guy, and it's all anyone talks about when they talk about him. They talk about what a great hitter he is. He rakes everywhere he goes, except the major leagues. That's a little caveat that's kind of important. Now maybe it clicks again. Like, we've seen it happen with other teams, including the one that, everyone envies, or hates, or both. So like, who knows, maybe he can join the fun, because like, at some point, what history tells you, and there's nothing in my life that I trust history as a harbinger of what's to come, like baseball, history tells you Samad Taylor is not going to get a hit at some point. And so maybe Nick Solak is the guy who steps up.
Right. Nick Solak is one of the great stats ever. Since 2023, okay, has played one game in the big leagues with the Atlanta Braves, one game in the big leagues with the Detroit Tigers, yes, four games in the big leagues with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and as of now, two games in the big leagues with the San Diego Padres. The next time he gets more than 35 games in the big leagues will be the first time that's happened since 2021.
Right. I think similar to Samad Taylor, maybe it was 31 or 37 games. They have, they have very interesting baseball reference pages, right? Like, or Fangraphs pages. There's a lot of empty spots there, but they are major leaguers.
Absolutely. And so is Blake Hunt, which is one of those kind of cool stories. If you know Blake Hunt's history, he was called up over the weekend to replace Freddie Fermin. Freak thing takes a spiked warm-up pitch off kind of the side of the head by his ear. They're being very cautious with him, as they should be. Blake Hunt is a name that we first heard about in like 2016, Kevin. Tell the folks about his story here.
Well, he's the second catcher they took in the second round of the 2017 draft. The first one is the guy that you've been waiting for or given up on, or both alternately, every other year, Luis Camposano. So, two high school catchers, and like, you know, Blake Hunt was a stud, and Blake Hunt, for whatever reasons, I think there were some injuries in there, some underperformance, basically almost gave up on baseball. Anyway, really good kid. The funny thing is, he has now spent 2 days in the major leagues and has never played. Now, he will play this week. You're not going to have Rodolfo Duran playing every day. But Blake Hunt was in the Orioles organization, was called up one day, but did not play, and was optioned basically the next day. The transactions page might say it's like the next day, but like, the same day, up, down, but was kept on the taxi squad. It was around the Orioles quite a bit. And so that's cool, but like, wants to get into a game. If you saw the newsletter today, interesting perspective that he has. It's like, it's all gravy, right? Like, I'm in bonus time here. Doesn't mean he's not going to try to kick butt, right? But like, honestly, I've heard that from a lot of guys who then take off, where it's like, you know what? I played my 800 games in the minor leagues, or I've been a mediocre major leaguer, whatever level it is you're at. And then you just go, you know what? I forgot I love this game and I play. And then boom, they have a nice season or a nice month or nice career, whatever. Maybe that's where Blake Hunt's at. But I thought it was really cool that I was expecting, oh yeah, I'm so excited, blah, blah, the cliches. And he's like, you know, it's house money from now on. I'm like,
yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. Because the way he said it.
Yeah, love that. I mean, Blake Hunt, again, was Padres went over slot to sign him out of modern day high school. Not San Diego, Santa Ana modern day. And then traded him in the Blake Snell deal. It's how they got Blake Snell. And now he is back with the Padres and will play at some point. I mean, to me, backup catcher is such an interesting role. Talk about expectations. They're not going to ask much of him. Right,
he's just not laughing because he's a backup catcher. Yeah, that's what he is. To the backup, to the backup. Like the like, if this was a Broadway play, you wouldn't go. But anyway,
exactly. I'm half expecting Martin Maldonado to walk into that clubhouse at some point, Kevin, because they're running out of dudes, aren't they?
That would happen to Blake Hunt, poor guy. That would happen. I walk in today and I see Martin Maldonado in the Busch Stadium clubhouse.
Absolutely. Speaking of Busch Stadium, Padres Cardinals 3-game series starting tonight in St. Louis, where I don't even want to ask about the humidity, Kevin.
You know what? A beautiful day. Just saw Mark Sweeney, who stays at my hotel. He works TV here. And he said it was a San Diego day. And it had not occurred to me, because I was bracing myself for what you said based on what the app says. At least my walk from the gym to back to my building. Beautiful day, Ryan.
Awesome.
That'll come back to haunt me.
Yeah, exactly. When there's a rain delay here in about 6 hours, I'll text you. Padres tonight going with an opener ahead of Lucas Giolito, with some hopes that Lucas Giolito can pitch like the second through the sixth inning, something like that. Do we know who it's going to be? It's been Bradley Rodriguez every time up till this point.
Right. He worked yesterday. I don't think that they bring him out. He's actually worked a fair amount recently. Honestly, my bad. Had some weird travel stuff. Can't recall the Cardinals top of the lineup and handedness and all that. I should. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think who it could be, but looking to get an inning. And obviously, it's a very important inning because you want to go 1-2-3, right? And then get Lucas Giolito in there in a clean game. And it'll probably be the same Wednesday for Griffin Canning. They didn't have to face the 1-2-3. Then if they can get you into the sixth, they're not facing 1-2-3 for the third time, right? Like things are going as well as they might. So that's the purpose here, because Giolito and Canning, you know, almost for the same reasons, like an allergy to the strike zone, are struggling.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Jordan Walker is the guy you probably don't want to face too many times if you're a right-handed pitcher.
Wandy Peralta.
Yeah.
So I was going Wandy or Yuki, and Wandy makes a lot of sense.
Wandy does make a lot of sense. Yeah, it's a guy, again, he's not going to be intimidated by the situation there. He's done a little bit of everything in the major leagues. Would make some sense there.
Yeah.
Going up against Dustin May, we remember him. He's now a Cardinal. He's 4-6 with an ERA of 4.21. Like Walker Buehler, trending up a little bit. He's allowed 3 earned runs or fewer in 10 of his last 11 starts. Allowed 3 runs, 2 of them earned in 6 innings last month at Petco Park. Dustin May pitching for the Cardinals today. Tuesday, Michael King going up against Andre Pallante. King has allowed 6 homers over his last 4 starts. That ERA has ballooned to 3.46. Padres are 1-3 over his last 4 starts, but pitched well enough against the Cardinals in a no decision against them in May. Has an ERA under 2 in his career against the Cardinals. Going up against Pallante, he's allowed 2 earned runs in at least 4 of his last 5 starts. Has pitched a lot against the Padres, 18 1/3 innings in his career. Last appearance was a start against them a year ago.
Michael King is fascinating. Keep getting told by everyone how close he is. That would be huge, because this starting rotation is struggling. Walker Buehler is not, though I do want to say really impressive that he gets through five, and maybe that's what Walker Buehler is, and maybe it's not fair to ask more of for him to consistently be more. But like they need to start getting some length, like Michael King gave them a few starts ago because he had to. Sorry, they all run together. I think it was actually last start. He's also given up runs and had some shorter outings. But Michael, you know, is their number one, and really they could use Michael King running off some of those seven inning, you know, no runs, one run, like he has, like he's capable, and like he's being paid.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I also think too that, you know what, it's a nature of everything's connected in baseball. Hear me out here, Kevin. Let me go a little far afield and come back, okay? Everything's connected in baseball. If the Padres weren't playing so many one- and two-run games, if the Padres weren't chasing runs for most of the last month or 6 weeks, I think that those starting pitchers would probably have a little bit of a longer leash and be allowed to work through some of these things a little bit on their own. Look at what happened. Was it on Friday in Baltimore, right? They let their starter – they kind of stuck with their starter there even when he wasn't looking very good. Randy Vasquez, because they had that – they had that cushion there, right?
Amen. How long did they stick with him?
Too long.
Five. Like, no. I want to 100% agree with what you're saying and then also say it wasn't for him to get through six.
Right.
They scored four runs in the top of the fifth – so that he could get through five.
Right. Yes, and this is the
most
point
is spot on. It really is.
Right. This is the most statement ever made on this podcast. But if they could just win big or score some runs early, I think you take a little bit of the pressure, not only off your starting pitchers, but off a bullpen that's been overused or used an awful lot here lately.
Right. How about that? I don't like to use that word. I'm glad you caught yourself. But because sometimes a bullpen is, it's not. But yes, used. There's funny. There's this difference between overused and used too much, right? Overused to me implies the manager and the pitching coach, right? Or, and maybe that's not how other people hear it, but that's what it implies to me. And I think it implies to them. Used too much is like, they're okay, but like, they'd be a lot better if they had some more rest.
Yep.
They're our strength and we're having to use them. And what's happening lately is they've had to use them in too many situations where you don't want to use Jason Adam, Adrian Morahone, right? They've been fortunate enough or getting beat enough that they haven't used, they've only used Mason Miller one time really in a place where they wouldn't have, because that's not an arm that you use it down to.
Right. Overuse is Mark Melancon making the All-Star team because he had so many save opportunities 5 years ago or whatever it was. And then the team falling apart at the end because all the relievers ran out of bullets. Fair?
There you go. That's fair. I know that people would push back on that. And I would say they're being fair too, that rotation sucked. So like, there's always a reason. No one's maliciously overusing relievers, but yes, absolutely. Something should have been done about that sooner, so those relievers didn't have to be overused. So yes.
Right. Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning in San Diego, it will be a TBD for the Padres. It'll likely be an opener ahead of Griffin Canning. And we'll see who that opener is, depending on who the Padres use here in the first two games of the series.
Right. Or maybe, that's their goal. That's their plan. Or maybe, the bullpen gets used too much. They don't make a move because, they can't or whatever. And Griffin Canning starts. But yeah.
Right. Griffin Canning has a 7.17 ERA this year, is 0-5. Clearly still trying to work some stuff out.
First inning's a little bit of a bugaboo for Griff. So, opener might be a good idea.
Yeah, that's smart. Going up against Kyle Leahy. Kyle Leahy has a 5.18 ERA in five starts since he threw five shutout against the Padres in a no decision last month. He has yet to allow a run to the Padres in three career appearances, because that's the way baseball works, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. Now let's right. So that'll be interesting, because this happens a fair amount, like yesterday. A pitcher who hasn't been doing very well gets well against the Padres because he's struggled, right? Since facing the Padres. Yeah. Yesterday it was Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, Trevor Rogers.
New Mexico.
New Mexico. New Mexico's Trevor Rogers. Yes, the other Carlsbad. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every podcast, and today is no different. Simple question, Simple question. Were they trying? Were the Padres throwing at Gunnar Henderson? A. B. I know Craig Stammen covered his mouth, but what was the gist of what got Craig Stammen rung up at the end of that game? And maybe we should set the scene here for people who weren't watching every inning all weekend.
I'm thinking it was the fifth, yes, the fifth inning, the rookie starter, is this Gibson? But anyway, the rookie starter for, he's making his fourth start for the Orioles on Saturday. He's losing it, right? He's a little wild early. Then he starts kind of mowing down the Padres. Then he starts losing it. He comes up and in, knocks Manny down. Next batter, five pitches later, hits Xander Bogaerts in the back of the head. In the seventh inning, Bradley Rodriguez came inside twice on Gunnar Henderson, the shortstop for the Orioles. Now, we always make fun of a pitcher who is supposed to hit someone as a message and doesn't. One of those pitches, Gunnar Henderson, like, gumbied the heck out of that thing to get out of the way. And right. Then Bradley gives up. And worst of all things, he ends up walking Gunnar Henderson.
Right.
Anyway, Gunnar Henderson, I believe, is the one who ended up scoring. Bradley gave up a run. In the ninth, Ron Marinaccio hits Gunnar Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Marinaccio is ejected right away, basically. The umpires came together. They were together for a split second, and he was tossed. Stammen, who last time, 2 weeks earlier in Washington, came out of a dugout in a situation after a replay in which an automatic ejection, and it took the umpire 3 minutes to eject Craig. Right. Like, almost like he remembered, I need to eject you, because Craig is so nice, he did nothing to be ejected. He came out hot this time.
Yeah.
He's always said he doesn't want to end up on John Boy, the social media, very entertaining social media site that reads the lips and all that. And Craig is not Craig's very fiery, despite what people might think in his demeanor and the way he does carry himself. He can be fiery, especially in the heat of the moment. He was mad. He said some words he shouldn't have said. Ultimately, though, it was like it took a while even then for him to get tossed. And he did, because of some words that he said that he later said he wasn't proud of, that most managers be like, well, that's just how I talk. Right. Were they throwing at him? There's a fair amount of evidence that says they were. The Orioles, it is always a he said situation. Right. To me. Virtually always. The winking might be a little harder. There's a lot of evidence that says they were.
Right.
There's some common sense that says if Ron Marinaccio took that on himself to do it, it wasn't very well thought out, because they had to use Adrian Morahone to come in and finish that game. Adrian Morahone and Mason Miller were the only guys left in that bullpen. And they're up by five at that point. Was it six at that point? Like, not cool at all. I do not think there is any doubt in anyone's mind that Ron Marinaccio hit him on purpose. That's what I can say. Ron says he didn't. And there's evidence that, or there was circumstantial evidence, such as having to bring in Morahone, such as Stammen being steamed. Now, he could have been that mad just because there were no warnings issued, but there's no rule that says there have to be warnings.
Right.
So, though it was interesting that I believe, like, almost right away, there's an inside pitch or something, or I know Buehler chirped at, was it Leody Taveras yesterday?
Yeah.
And right away he got a warning. Like it was a subtle one from the home plate umpire, who was a minor league umpire. But like, it was interesting there were no warnings, but it's the freaking two outs in the ninth inning. Like, how are they supposed to issue warnings? Like, at that point, right? Like, so yeah.
But to me, it's, if you're the Padres, you go, hey, you hit our shortstop, we're gonna hit your shortstop. There it is. My guess would be, hell yes, it was intentional. However, he probably thought, since nobody had been warned up until that point, that maybe he could hit him and then just be allowed to get the final out. And that is exactly, by the way, if you're talking about in the unwritten rules of baseball, where you hit a guy when you're trying to hit a guy, that's about the perfect spot, isn't it?
Perfect spot, perfect timing, given that Ron did was mainly surprised, I think, because of the no warning, right?
Right.
That's some serious clubhouse street cred for Ron Marinaccio.
Yep. 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 That is the frontier justice of Major League Baseball. I think it gets out of hand sometimes. To me, this is fair game.
And there's always a question, because it was so textbook, mm-hmm. hit him in the side, like a low timing of the game, one for one. The Orioles did understand, hey, our guy, he didn't do it on purpose, but he did come up some near some people's head and hit one of your star players in the head.
Knocking him out of the game eventually.
Right, like at that point, you don't know how he is. People were at, oh, do you think there'll be a carryover? No, this was over before Sunday. This wasn't one of those that was going to get out of hand. The Orioles, as much as Gunnar Henderson sort of was like pissed that, hey, you missed me in the seventh. You don't get to come after me again. They knew what was happening.
Yep. Padres, Cardinals, that is, for those keeping track at home, Samad Taylor, Chase Bowen, Will Wagner, Nick Solak, Rodolfo Duran, and the San Diego Padres taking on the Cardinals in a three-game series starting today in St. Louis. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.